Hey, does anybody know what the average size or how many people the average American family has in it?
Three,
four, six, two, 2.5? Let me tell you what it is. 3.14. Now, that does not mean that there are like three whole people and then like a tenth of another person, like a leg, you know. It's not what it's talking about. But on average, the American family has 3.14 members in it. I was thinking about that average. I realized Jen and I, now with Emery, we're working our way towards that, I guess. We're at like 2.25 members, I think, right now, because she comes up to like my knee right now. But who knows what the future holds for all of us in our different families. I was thinking about ours in particular. I know that Emery will have a snowboard strapped to her feet as soon as she can walk, and she will be rocking those slopes. It's going to be great. And, of course, she'll be living at home for the rest of her life, unable to talk to boys ever. So in case any of you are interested, number one, that's weird right now. And number two, sorry, you're out of luck. But I was thinking, too, about families because they're full of memories, some good, some bad. I was thinking some memories that I had and Jen has from our families. I remember selling my old clothes to my sister, making some money off of her. I remember going one time on a family walk. It was all four of us. We had our two dogs. And the dog that I was walking saw another dog and took off running. And at that point, I probably weighed about as much as the dog. And so I, for some reason, I held on as if I was going to like water ski behind the dog. But she quickly pulled me over and I just dragged for like four houses. Like, oh, let me go, let me go. And then I realized I should actually let go, you know. So eventually I let go and she went and barked at the dog and I cried for a little while and bled for a long time and I was okay. I remember one time where my sister, she's so excited, I don't remember what it was, but she said, hey, Kevin, I want to show you something outside. So I said, okay, little sister, I guess I'll go watch outside. And so I walked outside, stood underneath our big tree, and a bird pooped on my head. Right when I walked out there. Can you believe that? I could have stood right here, and I would have been okay. Or maybe right here. Or back, but I stood right there, and the bird pooped directly on my head. I don't know how that happened, but so you know, there's some funny memories. Not all are good. Jen told me of the time that she got really upset that Jordan was getting all the attention, and so she let out all of the water from her waterbed, and it flowed down the hall and all in her room, and it was pretty much a disaster. Thankfully, she's done with that habit. And we don't have a waterbed because I'm always scared she might let out the water again. Who knows? I remember maybe some of you guys have done this, fighting with my sister to get the front seat in the minivan. You guys done that? Yeah. I don't know why I thought riding in the front seat of the minivan was so cool, but I thought it was great. So we had to work out a system. And I also remember being bit by my sister so hard that I bled. I don't know if any of you have experienced that. I could probably find the scar somewhere, but I remember us getting in a fight and she bit me like a dog and I bled. So, I read a quote today. It said, families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts. I guess that makes sense. Genesis 27, we get a peek into Isaac's family, Isaac and Rebecca. And you remember a couple weeks ago, we learned a little bit about them, and we learned mainly about their two sons, Esau and Jacob. And we're going to learn a lot about them today as we see this family feud that's going on in the middle of them. Now, how many of you guys have ever watched the TV show Family Feud? With that corny guy there that like cracks weird jokes all the time, right? But funny guy, kind of, not really, but we're not at all. What we're going to read tonight in Genesis 27 isn't at all a funny game show. This is more like a family fight, and we're going to see all four members of the family and how they're involved and what's going on, and we're going to see tonight, I think you'll understand, that it's all a result of sin in each of their lives. Now, it's different kinds of sin, whether it's jealousy, whether it's unfaithfulness, whether it's anger, whatever it is, different types of sin. But as each one contributes, it turns into a big family feud, and it's not good for anybody. So let's start with our first member, Genesis 27. We'll read the first four verses. Now it came to pass when Isaac, he's our first guy that we're going to talk about here, was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered him, "Here I am." Verse 2, then he said, "Behold now, I am old and do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me." In other words, go kill some animals. Verse 4, "And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." So the first thing that we see tonight is, number one, a prideful father. A prideful father. Now, the Bible warns a lot against pride. In fact, I've got four verses for you here right now about pride. Write these verses down. 1 Peter 5:5, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 8:13, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate, says God. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes shame. Proverbs 13:10, by pride comes nothing but strife. And I lied, there's actually five. The most famous one, Proverbs 16:18, pride comes before a fall. Exactly. Pride comes before a fall. Unfortunately, Isaac is going to learn this one the hard way. He's going to get caught up in his pride, and we're going to see how in just a moment. And down the road, we won't read about it tonight, but we're going to see the consequences in his life. Isaac desired, he wanted to bless his oldest son, Esau. But that desire was based on sin in the first place. It's called favoritism. You may remember back in chapter 25, we read in verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Interesting. So again, that verse says Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. Now, that does not mean he ate Monopoly, okay? This game is a little different. Like deer or elk or bear or whatever this guy hunted, his dad loved to eat this food that Esau cooked. So he favored his oldest son because he was a good cook. Favoritism is not love. And because Esau was a good cook, his dad favored him above his other son, Jacob. Isaac had this extra love for him for some reason. And so he wants to bless Esau. So maybe you're asking, well, how in the world was Isaac prideful? Let me show you. Basically, he's about to give a blessing. Now, a blessing in this culture was a big deal. The oldest son almost always received this blessing from the father. And this is a big deal because this meant the priestly duties were taken over by the oldest son. The inheritance, that he would just proclaim this blessing that would go on for the rest of this son's life. So this was a big deal. But here's how Isaac is prideful. He never asked God about who. Had he asked God, God would have very clearly, we know what God would have said. He would have said, "Don't bless Esau, bless Jacob." Jacob, although in this setting, he's the youngest son. And in this culture, the youngest son would have never received the birthright or the blessing. But we know God would have said so because we read back in chapter 25, verse 23, that God had already, even before they were born, rejected Esau. He knew the way this guy's life was going to be lived out. And he had transferred the blessing from the oldest son, Esau, to Jacob. So Isaac was prideful in that he thought he could do it on his own. He thought he could get away with not asking for God's counsel on this really, really important decision. He was prideful. He took it upon himself. And I want us to think about this bad example. We need to beware. We need to be cautious of thinking that we can do things apart from God. That's a dangerous place for any of us to end up, thinking that we have it under control without having to talk to God. That's where Isaac was at. In fact, you know, I've been guilty of that many times before in my life. Even this week, as I've been preparing for Mexico, I've barely gotten any sleep, and I've been so tired. And there's been a few times that I just can't get out of bed to get up and spend time with the Lord. Who am I to think that I can come to work, I can be an effective youth pastor without talking to God? I need it just like you guys do, just like anybody does. And there are times that we fall short. And so we need to make sure that we are talking to the Lord and humbling ourselves and remembering how much we need God. Every single one of us does. Remember, pride comes before the fall. And Isaac was prideful. Don't follow his example. So we had, number one, a prideful father. Number two, an unfaithful mother. Look at verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. Okay, so let me kind of set the scene here. Isaac says, Esau, come over here. I don't know, I'm really old. My eyesight is failing. I don't know when I'm going to die. I want to bless you. So here's what you're going to do. Go out into the field, kill an animal, make a feast, and then bring that feast to me, and I'm going to bless you. So Isaac didn't talk to his wife about this. Rebekah is overhearing it, as we just read in verse 5. So she comes up with a plan, verse 6. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son. Now remember, Jacob is the one that Rebekah favors over her other son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. So an unfaithful mother. We'll read more about her plans in a few minutes. Okay, everyone, real quick, stand up from your seats. Okay, everybody up. Okay, now everybody, ready? Don't lean on anybody else. Balance on one foot. Nice. Good job. Good job. Give yourselves a hand. You guys are good balancing. Okay, take a seat. I'll tell you why you did that here in just a moment. Because I wanted you to. No, not really. Well, I did, but there's a point behind it. Now, when I said to stand up and I said stand on one foot, I didn't really see any hesitation out there. You guys very quickly went to one foot. None of you thought, I'm pretty sure none of you thought, now I'm sure some of you would raise your hands if I asked you if you thought this, but I'm sure none of you thought, he just said to stand on one foot, but the sheer weight of my body will crush my bone in that one leg if I do that. None of you thought that, right? Why? Because you know that your leg is strong enough to support you. One, even one leg, ooh. One leg is strong enough. You know it hasn't let you down yet, and it's not going to tonight. So without even thinking, you had faith in that leg. And then I said, sit back down. I didn't see anybody that turned around and went like this. Got to inspect his chair before I take a seat. I don't know. It might collapse if I sit down. Okay. I'm okay. Nobody did that. Why? Because you had faith not only in your leg, standing on your leg, but you had some faith in your chair without even thinking about it. Now, how is it that we can have faith in our leg bones and faith in a purple chair, but we can think twice about having faith in God? How is that? We can walk into a room and flip on a light without ever thinking twice that light may not turn on. Although I can tell you, leg bones, chairs, and light bulbs have let people down way more than God ever has or ever will. And so it's easy to have faith in so many things, not even to question them. But yet, we so easily question God. God is the Creator. God is our Savior. God sees the beginning and the end and everything in between. So how is it that we could not have faith in him if we can have faith in so many other things? We don't even think about it sometimes. 2 Timothy 2:13. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, I share it often in here. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. In other words, God being unfaithful would be denying the very person that God is. God being unfaithful to us would deny his very existence. Think about it. How great would God be if he was unfaithful at times? If there were times that we couldn't trust God, he would be just like anybody else. Because for the most part, you can trust me. But guess what? There's going to be times I'm going to let you down. Vice versa. The people that you trust the most, you can trust them all you want, but there's going to be some point in your relationship that they let you down. But for God to be unfaithful, it would completely deny who God is. In fact, it would make him not God anymore. The whole thing about God is that God is constant. God is stable. God is faithful. God is always there. But sometimes, like Rebecca, we doubt. You remember, I just told you the verse, chapter 25, verse 23. God had promised or told Rebecca up front that Jacob, the younger son, was going to receive the blessing. So she should have had some faith in that. She should have trusted that God was really going to do that. But considering the circumstances, this was impossible. Isaac was just about to ruin God's plan. That's what Rebecca thought. Great example, Philly's airline ticket. Seems crazy. It would be impossible for her to be able to still go. But God is bigger. And so no matter what, how impossible the circumstances may seem, God is always bigger and more powerful. I love what it says in Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, we learned in chapter 26 that God doesn't need our help. And we saw how Isaac tried to help God out by trying to protect himself and making up a lie about his wife, saying that she was his sister. Of course, his sin found him out. And here's the thing with God. When God says something is going to happen, it absolutely will happen. There's never a reason for us to doubt that. But Rebecca, unfortunately, still hasn't learned this. So she decides to try to help God out one more time. She takes things into her own hands. She tells Jacob her deceitful plan. We read about it here in verses 9 through 10. She says, your dad is about to bless Esau, so here's what you're going to do. Go out into the field. Bring me one of the goats. I'm going to cook up this goat real nice. You're going to go in and pretend that you are Esau so you can get the blessing. So she tells him this plan. I love his reply, though. I've never been able to reply to this, to anything like this. Verse 11, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. That's a pretty cool reply, okay? Now, there's not many times that you can use that reply. But Jacob found a time. You know, can you imagine? Excuse me, can you go and take out the trash, your mom said? But my brother is hairy and I'm smooth-skinned, you know? You wouldn't say that, right? That doesn't fit. Anything. You need to do the dishes. But my brother, he's so hairy, you know? That doesn't make sense, right? But in this instance, he resists. He says, but mom, Esau, dude, have you seen him? He has to like comb his arm hair, you know? This guy is so hairy. I'm smooth skinned, he says. Now he says it for a reason. Look at verse 12. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be a deceiver, or a better translation, a mocker to him. And I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. So, this guy wasn't kidding. Okay, he had a very hairy brother. In fact, you remember, Esau's name means hairy, red hair. In fact, to fool his father, you know what he had to wear? He had to put the skin of the goat on his arm. And then he walked up to his dad, because we'll read about it here in just a minute. His dad's like, are you really my son Esau? And he says, yeah, dad, feel my arm. So he felt the goat hair and he's like, oh, that's Esau. that's a lot of hair, okay? So this guy, he said, no, 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 no. This is a bad plan, Mom, because he's going to find out. And he's going to think that I am mocking his inability to see. He's not going to be able to see me when I come in there. So what am I going to do? He's going to find out. So he questions. Well, his mom goes so far as to say, don't worry about it, son. I will take your curse for you. She is so set on helping God out. Look at verse 13. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. So she said, obey, son, get on it. So verses 14 through 17, the plan unfolds. She makes food. They play dress up with Jacob. They go into Esau's closet, pull out his clothes. They skin the goat because the goat is now being cooked, and he straps the goat hair to his arms, okay? Can you imagine this guy? Smells like a hunter now. He's wearing Esau's clothes. He looks like a goat boy, you know, walking around with goat hair on his arms and his neck. And so he's playing dress up kind of here. This plan is unfolding. This unfaithful mother is putting her son through all of these things. So she makes him dress up. She makes him go through this whole thing. And Rebecca is being very unfaithful. Now, granted, the circumstances seem grim. They seem impossible. She's probably remembering, but God told me that Jacob is supposed to get the blessing. I have to do whatever I can do to make sure that he does, that he gets the blessing. Okay, true. We should try with, you know, by the power of the Lord through us to accomplish things. But ultimately, when we're up against impossible circumstances, we need to let God take care of it. Remember that verse I told you, Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. God is bigger than our circumstances. God is bigger than our obstacles. Unfortunately, now we have the mother and the father who are setting bad examples. A prideful father and an unfaithful mother. Number three, a deceitful brother. And this is Jacob. Look at verse 15. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau. Lie. Your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He sees that something is going on here. And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. So now Jacob is including God in the lie. Verse 21, Isaac said to Jacob, please, come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near. You know his heart is pounding, about to beat out of his chest because he knows he's about to get caught. Verse 22, so Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. Jacob right here had a lot of opportunities to set the story straight. He had many opportunities to tell the truth. Do any of you guys know the fifth commandment? The fifth of the ten? Anybody know what it is? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Do you know it? What is it? Joseph? Oh, nice. Yeah. Close. It's actually honor your father and mother. The fifth commandment. So, Jacob's in a hard spot here. His dad, Isaac, is doing something that's wrong, being prideful, trying to bless Esau, who doesn't deserve the blessing. And his mom is now doing something wrong as well. His mom is telling him, obey me. We're going to lie. We're going to make up this story and we're going to fool your dad. So by dishonoring, by obeying her, he was dishonoring his father, but more importantly, dishonoring God. And he also stole from his brother, all because he was honoring his mother. Now, if your parents ever tell you to do something that you know is wrong, that you know the Bible says not to do, that God would not want you to do, that is a great time to stand up for your belief and to stay strong. God is always higher authority than your parents. And your parents are going to make mistakes at times. Hopefully, you'll never be put in a circumstance like that. But that was the circumstance that Jacob was in. Jacob had an opportunity. And he had an opportunity to say, here's the thing, Mom. God is going to provide. If God said that he was going to bless me, then he's going to bless me. I don't know how, but he's going to do it. He had the opportunity to do it. Unfortunately, he didn't. Jacob chose the wrong thing. It's tempting, though, at times, to be deceitful, to try to lie. You want your way. You want to stay out of trouble. You don't want to get found out, whatever it is. I've been there. I've lied. I've been deceptive at times. It's tempting, but the truth always finds you out. Sin will always find you out. Psalm 69, verse 5 says, "Oh God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hidden from you." God sees them. God knows you. God knows every one of us better than we'll ever know ourselves. And he sees everything from our actions to the motives behind our actions. And he sees them all. Our sins are not hidden from the Lord. So Jacob learned from his father. You remember Isaac earlier on, in the land of the Philistines, lied to protect himself. Jacob, I think, probably learned from his father how to lie, how to be deceptive. Unfortunately, his dad was a bad example to learn from. He shouldn't have trusted him. Jacob lied. He stole Esau's blessings. And he has some bad consequences coming for him. So Jacob was a deceitful brother. Number four, Esau was a revengeful brother. Verse 30. So before we read verse 30, basically how it finishes up there, Jacob goes in, fools his father, Isaac gives him the blessing. So we catch up back with it in verse 30. "Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's game that your soul may bless me.' And his father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' So he said, 'I am your son, your firstborn, Esau.' Then Isaac trembled exceedingly." Basically, that means his body began to shake. He was so upset and angry. "And said, 'Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed.' When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry." Literally, this means he was probably on his hands and his knees bawling like a little schoolgirl, all right? So you can picture this big, hairy, strong, hunting man coming in, "No!" And he's crying and he's screaming, so upset that he didn't receive the blessing. "And said to his father," end of verse 34, "'Bless me also, O my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing.'" He got found out. Verse 36, "And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me,'" which basically means took my position these two times. "'He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?' Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I have made him your master, And all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 41, if you skip down a couple more verses. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. A revengeful brother. Now our world tells us that revenge is automatic, it's deserved, it's necessary. In fact, I remember at school, you guys see it, I'm sure, all the time. When somebody looks at you the wrong way or says something to someone the wrong way, immediately, a lot of times there's a fight that breaks out because of it. Because of something that's said or a look that's given, it results in a fight. In fact, there's websites that you can go to learn how to get revenge better, unfortunately. I found some pictures online, some pictures of somebody's office and ways that they got revenge. Lots of different ones. There's a lot of foil on a few of those, some packing peanuts. My favorite one is the one right in the middle with all that toilet paper. I can't imagine how much toilet paper that is. That is a lot of toilet paper. And then the guy up in the left-hand corner, they set up his desk inside the bathroom. So I don't know what they deserved for that punishment. I also found some pictures of a car, people covered in Post-it notes. Check that out. That's actually pretty cool, huh? So they spent hours putting on all those Post-it notes. So revenge. But here's the thing. The Bible paints a different picture of revenge than the world does. Matthew 5:44, Jesus' own words. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Esau had a chance to be a man in the story. Esau had a chance. This could have been his shining moment. He could have said, man, that really stinks that Jacob had to go about it that way, but I forgive him. He could have prayed for him. His dad was prideful. His mom was unfaithful. His brother was deceitful. Esau could have been merciful. Instead, he was revengeful. He wanted to kill him. He hated him. How many of you guys like to eat at Wendy's? Anybody? Very nice. In Miami, I read a news story. It took place at Wendy's. In Miami, a guy in the drive-thru got up to the window. He was demanding for Wendy's to give him more packets of hot sauce, okay? Chili sauce. And so the person at the window was like, well, our policy here is we can only give out 3 packets. And he said, no, I want 10 of them. So the guy was like, okay, here's 10 packets. He gave him his packets. So the manager hears about it. The manager walks out to talk to this guy about his demand for chili packets. You know what the guy does? He shoots the manager multiple times. You believe that? Over chili packets, okay? It's hot sauce, all right? Now, thankfully, the guy had no serious injuries but was rushed to the hospital. He got shot multiple times because the guy wanted his hot sauce. How terrible is that? That's the world we live in. We're so selfish. Let me ask you this. What is your reaction when life doesn't go the way that you planned? What do you do? We saw it a bunch of times in chapter 27. Isaac didn't ask God. Rebecca didn't trust God. Jacob was deceitful. Esau was angry. All of those things because life wasn't going the way that they had planned. And it ended up causing this huge family feud. It didn't need to happen. But because of their sin, it did. And it would actually last for years. Genesis chapter 28, we'll read later on that Jacob ends up leaving because Esau is going to kill him. So Jacob runs away. And these two brothers, the day that he leaves, they won't see each other again for about another 20 years because of the sin that they allowed to come in between them. Does this family sound like yours at all? Is there feuds? Is there fighting? Is there selfishness on your part? Are there things going on that are hard in your family? Maybe so. But the change starts with you. And you can be faithful. You can stand up for what's right. You can talk to the Lord about it. You don't have to be deceitful. You can be merciful and kind even when they don't deserve it. That's what Jesus would want us to do. So my challenge to you tonight, make sure you're where you should be with God. Stay strong in Him. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. He's the only way to have eternal life in heaven. Doesn't matter how great of a person you are or how many times you've gone to church or anything like that. Jesus is the only one who will get you to heaven. Maybe you have made a decision to follow Christ. Stand strong in Him. Be kind to the people that don't deserve it. The people that you would call your enemies. Pray for them. Stand up for what you know is right and act like a Christian. Let's close in prayer. God, we do thank You that You are bigger than all of our circumstances. And no matter what we face in life, You're always bigger than those things. And You can always overcome. And so, God, we just want to lift this up to You, Lord. Sometimes it gets to be very challenging as we face people. Sometimes they don't deserve our respect. They're rude, whatever it may be, God. And I just ask, Lord, that You would give us a spirit of kindness and forgiveness. Lord, when life doesn't go the way that we planned, that we would not cause a fight or a feud within our family or our friends, but we would look to You, we would trust in You, Lord, and we would see Your hand work despite our circumstances. We love You, God, and we thank You that You're always there. In Your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Have an excellent weekend.